Unit 5 parents consider their options for the fall semester, including the benefits and drawbacks if they choose remote learning.
You know, a teacher's not going to be checking in every 15 to 20 minutes to say, hey, you know, how are you doing?
That's Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weichel. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Destin, Fort Walton Beach on Allegiant. The beach is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Wednesday, July 22nd. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with two new affordable housing developments coming to McLean County through federal low-income housing tax credits. More from Eric Stock.
Nathan Joseph is vice president of S.E. Clark & Associates, the Peoria firm that's building the villas at Prairie Vista, a 24-duplex complex along Route 51 in South Bloomington.
These are duplex units with one-car garages, and we're charging, and the rents will be comparable to what many 10, 15-year-old apartment buildings are charging for smaller units even.
Rents will be capped based on income. Each unit comes with one car garage. Joseph says he believes seniors will be one of the main markets for the development, though he says they will be open to anyone.
It's going to be really attractive to a lot of seniors, folks that don't want to be dealing with the three-story walk-up apartment buildings and things like that.
Joseph says construction should start next spring and the project should finish in 2022. In Hayworth, the nonprofit group Regional Housing Development of Springfield plans to build 30 single-family homes in a $9 million project. Megan Bell is CEO.
The nice thing with the tax credit program is that with the income limits and the rents of what they are, we're able to target kind of that population that may not otherwise have a chance for a brand new unit, given the income that they have.
The project will include a mix of 2 and 3 bedroom units. Each will have an attached garage. Regional Housing Development manages affordable housing projects in smaller communities throughout Central Illinois.
The nice thing with the tax credit program is that with the income limits and the rents of what they are, we're able to target kind of that population that may not otherwise have a chance for a brand new unit, given the income that they have.
The state approved $26 million in tax credits for 21 projects in 11 counties. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were 17 new cases of the coronavirus reported yesterday in McLean County. That's 69 for the past week, a new record. The testing positivity rate ticked up a bit too, to 2.3%. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the possibility of federal agents coming to Chicago is a wrong-headed move by President Trump and his Department of Homeland Security. The officers are coming as part of a federal crackdown on protests across the country. And Illinois Republicans say Democratic Speaker Michael Madigan should resign after ComEd last week admitted to bribing the speaker through hiring lobbyists and staff he recommended. Madigan has not been charged with wrongdoing. Find more on those stories at WGLT.org. Unit 5 parents will have a choice to make in the next week or so, send their children back to school in person or go with all remote learning for the entire fall semester. Dana Vollmer spoke with new Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weichel about what that could mean for students. Weichel says the online options might have consequences for middle schoolers who might not be developmentally ready to self-learn.
Students in grades 6 through 12, the curriculum and courses through Edmentum is more self-paced. There's no doubt about it, because I think even the best online learning platform can't replicate what we as educators do in the classroom. And so, you know, families that choose that option need to be really aware that, you know, a teacher is not going to be checking in every 15 to 20 minutes to say, hey, you know, how are you doing? Do you have any questions? It is that really self-paced work. And as you said, that can be difficult for some middle school and high school students. At the K-5 level, though, it's not so much the self-paced work. So the teacher will be providing lessons, and sometimes those will be live virtually, and other times they'll be recorded so a student can go back and listen to that, watch that at a time that works for their family.
So why bring the younger kids back but not the older grades? Is it educationally based, or is it more social distancing reasons?
Honestly, both. Okay, so we recognize that so much of what we do at the elementary level is really helping students develop those foundational skills in literacy, math, and their sciences. And so oftentimes, because it is so foundational, kids not only need to see it, they need to hear it, and they need to do it. And so that doing it often works best for the younger student when they can do it under the supervision of a teacher and or teacher aide. In grades 6 through 12, if I had my perfect world, we'd have all those students back every day. But the reality is we just have so many more students in those buildings in grades 6 through 12. So, you know, I think we have 17 elementary schools, but only 4 junior highs and only 2 high schools.
The plan as drafted gives families until the 29th to make a decision about whether or not to send their kids back. What kind of factors should parents be weighing when they're making that decision?
First, medically, is your child able to come to school? You know, are students who are more medically fragile or maybe have an underlying health condition or they're in a high-risk category, then I think that's where they need to start. And then really it depends on the comfort level of the student and the parents. You know, for some families, it's going to be a matter of what's your child's learning style? You know, do they learn best being socially around other peers where they can talk, hear what other kids are thinking in regards to their learning? Because that is a big component of the schooling process for our kids, is that socialization. You know, if in some cases it may be a decision that if both parents, you know, have to work and they can't take a leave of absence, they may need to decide they know their child needs an education and they're opting to send their student in person rather than doing the remote because they just fiscally can't make it work for their household.
Do you anticipate that the actual educational performance for students who stay remote versus returning to the classroom might be different?
You know, I think it's really going to depend on the student. We know that all of our students are at different points in their learning process. And some students, you know, might engage at a higher level, whether they're in person or online. You know, if a student has a misunderstanding, though, and is really confused on what they're learning online, we'll have an educator available to help try to answer their questions and help them work through that process so that way they really gain the knowledge that we want and need them to learn.
Some teachers' unions are going as far as telling their members to start drafting their wills because they think the situation could grow to become that bad. Do you have any response to that?
I don't. I mean, I know here in Unit 5, I can't speak for all other districts, but here in Unit 5, we have put safety protocols in place that we think not only protects our staff members, but that of our students. You know, every staff member will be provided with a washable mask. We've ordered face shields. We have plexiglass set up in the office areas. Can that prevent anything and everything? No. But we're doing everything that we can based on recommendations from the CDC, the Illinois Department of Public Health, and then our local health department as well.
That's Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weichel speaking with Dana Vollmer. Hear more on that conversation at WGLT.org. Before we let you go, the Unit 5 School Board meets tonight at 6:30 at Normal West to discuss that reopening plan. Also meeting today at 4 is the Bloomington Planning Commission. They'll discuss development at the Fox Creek Subdivision. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Denver on Frontier Airlines. The Mile High City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.